Psalm 52, verse 1. This is a contemplation by David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to Abimelech's house. This was the time when David came to Abimelech, and then Doeg, who was an Edomite who was working for Saul, went and told Saul that David had come to Abimelech and had been supported by Abimelech, and then Saul comes out and kills 85 priests within Abimelech's family. That's in 1 Samuel 22. So these are David's reflections on this. They're particularly upon the fact that Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul what had happened. And he's going to talk on in this psalm about the tongue of Doeg. Doeg came and told Saul. And it was because of those words of Doeg to Saul that 85 priests were slain. And so he goes on, why do you boast of mischief, you mighty man? In other words, Doeg was boasting, apparently, about what had happened. And the psalm concludes, verse 7, that Doeg's going to be judged, and people will say, behold, this is the man who didn't make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. It's as if Doeg was motivated by a love of riches, thinking that he would get a reward materially from Saul for betraying David, even though it meant the murder of 85 priests. And so it's his tongue which is focused upon. And you see the significance of words to God. We may say, oh, such and such person, he's so sensitive to words. You know, you say something, and the guy's like thinking about the words you said, and, you know, get over it sort of thing. Well, I wonder if God is actually a bit like that, because he is very interested in human words. And we know from what James has to say about the power of the tongue. And by your words you shall be judged, the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 12. And by your words you shall be justified. You know, language is important, and words and what we do with our tongue. You know, he just could say, well, I didn't kill the priest. I just went off and told Saul what had happened. Well, yeah, but he is being blamed. His tongue is being blamed for those deaths. And David says something apparently strange in verse 1. Why do you boast of mischief, mighty man? God's grace endures continually. Well, it sounds a bit strange to talk about God's abiding eternal grace when 85 innocent people have been killed. And I wonder if he says this because he realizes that, sure, we're all up against the problem of evil here. How can it be that 85 priests are slain because of the words of one man, and you see in that God's grace? Well, I think the idea is that although we, as it were, have a clouded vision of that grace when, for example, 85 innocent people are killed, you've got to remind yourself that somehow God's grace endures eternally. And I think that that ultimately can only be through the resurrection of those men, the resurrection to eternal life and the resurrection of Doeg to judgment and eternal death. And he calls Doeg the mighty man, and that's the word that's used of Goliath, the champion, who was slain by David, 1 Samuel 17:51. And again, it was his proud boasts, those proud boasts of Goliath, that led to his destruction. And again, he was killed really for his words. Verse 2, your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. So he was nice enough to David to his face, but then he goes off and tells Saul that Abimelech supported David. He gave him sword of Goliath and gave him food and etc. So this is the power of the tongue. It's like a sharp razor. And Doeg is directly blamed for the death of these people. And, you know, our tongues are weapons, and they're likened to that, to spears and things like that, and later on in the scriptures. So we really must be careful with our words. Verse 4, you love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. So Doeg, as a person, is addressed as if he is his own tongue. You deceitful tongue, you love devouring words. In other words, words that lead to the devouring of other people. And we are, therefore, our words. By your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned. And we may think that, well, yeah, that was just words. I kind of didn't mean it. It was just language. Well, God's perspective is different in that we are our speech. And so often we find this taught in the Proverbs and so often in the Scriptures. And, of course, when it comes to God, the Word was God. God is His Word. He is directly identified with His speech. And we are also. This really does point up, does it not, the critical importance of how we talk. And, you know, we all sort of squirm somewhat uncomfortably when we're reminded of this, but we do keep needing to be reminded of it, do we not? Verse 5, God will likewise destroy you forever. I wonder if the idea is that, okay, you've got these 85 priests destroyed, but they're going to be resurrected and live forever, but you are going to be destroyed and you shall stay dead forever. He will take you up, verse 5, and pluck you out of your tent. Well, that was appropriate because Doeg was the herdsman of Saul, so he would have lived in tents. He will take you up, pluck you out of your tent, and root you out of the land of the living. Verse 6, the righteous will see it and fear and laugh at him. Well, how will the righteous see this happening? I mean, the righteous were dead. The 85 priests have been killed. I can only say that the Bible teaching about judgment seems to imply that it will have a public element to it. The sheep and the goats see each other going into the kingdom. Revelation 16, they shall walk naked, and they shall see their shame. It's as if people will be revealed for who they really are. And there will be this public dimension to judgment. And so here the idea is, I think, that there will be a resurrection. And the 85 priests will live forever. But Doeg is going to be resurrected and judged. And so that just shows the foolishness, really, of hypocrisy, of thinking that I can act one way in front of you and you shall never know what I really think about you or what I'm doing secretly or quietly, because it shall all be revealed. And it shall be revealed in an eternal sense, that we will come to the day of judgment and be revealed for who we truly are and who we truly have been. And understanding that, I think, helps us against all forms of hypocrisy and play-acting and hiding behind images and wanting to present an image of ourselves and our positions, etc. We shall be revealed naked, not only to God, but to each other in the last day. Because, as I say, there is this public dimension to the judgment process. At least that's how we're invited to see it.